Okay, if you'd like to get your Bible and go to Matthew chapter 24, verse 15, and then we're going to go to Daniel chapter 2, and then we're going to go to Daniel chapter 7. This is our third lesson in our eschatology, connecting to our series, The True and Living God, and this lesson is dealing with the latter days, also dealing with the kings and the little horn, and largely Daniel, the image of Daniel given the second time in chapter 7. Let me just pray before we start, and I pray, Lord, I pray and ask that you would help us as Bible believers to study these things from the book of Daniel and also from Matthew and the New Testament, as we look at the last book of the Old Testament, Father, and the last book of the New Testament, which is Book of Revelation. And Lord, I pray that these lessons can help us to navigate our way through the Word of God, and also help us to not to be alarmed or be moved from Thy Word, and especially when things happen that we're not sure about, maybe even this particular period of time. And Lord, I just ask for your grace this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The book of Daniel, in Daniel 2:28, which will be on your notes, the theme of the book of Daniel is that it's dealing with the latter days, because the Bible says Nebuchadnezzar, when Daniel talked to Nebuchadnezzar the king, as they were led into captivity, as we've looked at with the last six messages in our series, The True and Living God, where we had started with that message, and then the second one was they went into captivity and they were to go under the yoke of Babylon, or the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, this king, this Gentile king, and they were to listen to Jeremiah the prophet, who Ezekiel the prophet supported to tell the children of Israel that after the anarchy and the division in the nation, or Canaan, the promised land, and what happened there in the time of the kings, that God judged them in a way that they were to go then into this nation, where the Lord said in Jeremiah chapter, I think it's 11, verse 29, where his thoughts towards them were good, he would give them an expected end, and that they were to be they were to fulfill the 70 years, which we looked at in our first lesson of eschatology, dealing with the 70 years, the number 7, and also dealing with the 70 weeks, so you can get an understanding of that process. But however, they were in captivity and God had an expected end for them, and that was God's will, and he did look after them. And then we looked at the I think it was the after captivity we moved then into our next lesson, which was the rock that conquers. And of course that message dealt with the fact that the image that Daniel interprets, gives the interpretation to Nebuchadnezzar in chapter 2, reveals the stone made without hands, the second advent of Jesus Christ, and makes it clear that it's the fifth kingdom, or the one that conquers. The key verses for that, for your, when you read Daniel, is keep in mind is Daniel 2 and verse 34, and also Daniel verse 41 and verse 44. Understand that also the comparison of that stone made without hands, the one who topples the image that of the gold and of the silver and of the brass, and of the two legs and the feet and the 10 toes, And if you have that image, have a look at that. That was the image they saw. That was the beginning, what we call the time of the Gentiles. And that prophecy of those kingdoms were prophesied in the book of Daniel, you know, really, you know, hundreds of years before they were completed. And of course, the last kingdom is the two legs, which is Rome, and has the feet and the clay, the ten toes. The ten toes represent, which we'll look at, are ten kings, which we'll look at in a moment. Because as we do Daniel, you want to understand the interpretation of words that are mentioned in the book of Daniel. As we looked at the numbers, we also looked at the image. Now we'll also look at the terms like beast and little horn. And of course, that message that a stone that conquers, and understand the great truth that you and I have as believers, that our circumcision is made without hands, amen. That we're not only Jews, that we are Jews inwardly, and we have the salvation of God as being saved, and understand, as I did say, you know, when we were looking at, when we came to the next message, which was, you know, things don't last, or the idea that you remember when they threw the three Hebrew children in to the furnace, Nebuchadnezzar had heated that thing up seven times hotter, a picture really of the tribulation, a time that none of us have been through yet, which I'll mention in a moment. Also understand that in that furnace, you saw the Son of Man, the Son of God, in that furnace delivering the Jew, and understand that the Jews have always been hated by this world, and obviously by Satan, they're God's people, as it began with Pharaoh when they were in the land of Goshen. That's where Moses came from, being hid in the reeds. And then later on, you know, as you go through the Old Testament, you have, you know, the book of Esther. Say this is when a decree was put out by that wicked man Haman to kill all the Jews and so forth. And then, of course, Nebuchadnezzar sieged Jerusalem. And all through the Old Testament, you have the trials or the battles of David fighting against their enemies. And, you know, when Jesus Christ is born, what does Herod do? Tries to kill all the first male, trying to kill the Jew. And, of course, it's very much evident and seen, which we could call the spirit of iniquity in the First and Second World War, especially the Second World War. Hitler trying to exterminate the Jew. And, of course, then in Revelation, which we'll come to, where the devil comes down and persecutes the woman who had the man-child, trying to wipe out the Jew. Understand that the world, the Jews are a peculiar people, and the world have no time for them, neither does Satan. And understand that you and I are Jews, okay? Because inwardly we have the Spirit of Christ, and don't expect the world to like us as believers. But taking from that, we've gone through. That was the rock that conquers, and then the second lesson of eschatology was on the image, just to give an understanding of the gold and the silver, which most of you probably know. And then the last message, which we did on Sunday, was dealing with, you know, things don't last. And of course the theme of our message is really, is the theme of the Bible, is to know that there is the true and living God, and that's what King Nebuchadnezzar learnt at the end of Daniel chapter 4. But this obviously then brings us, as we go through Daniel, we've mentioned the 70 weeks, which I won't cover now, but we will be dealing with the 70th week and how Daniel saw the 70th week after he had seen in Daniel 9 the Messiah being cut off. And I'll just read you that, because this is some of the context of this lesson. And Daniel, what Daniel sees, he writes, and he did see the Messiah being cut off. And he, in verse 26, and after 62 weeks, that's the 69 weeks, which is probably about a period of 434 years. We've already covered that period which brings up to the Messiah being cut off, but not for himself. But Daniel saw Jesus Christ being cut off, and that was under the Roman court, because the Rome was in power. The fourth beast, which we'll look at, but not for himself and the people. And then what Daniel also saw was Messiah being cut off, and immediately he sees, and the people of the prince, this is a small prince, that shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, even unto the end of the war of desolations. I have mentioned that that prophecy has nothing to do with when Titus destroyed Jerusalem in 70 AD, because this is dealing with prophecy. It's dealing with this is dealing with Daniel's 70th week, which, you know, we'll have a look in verse 27. And he shall consume the covenant with many for 1 week, and as we've already studied, that's a period of 7 years. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And that middle of that week, he messes with the offering. And I want you to make note that that's what Jesus Christ was mentioning. And in Matthew 24 and verse 15, we're going to read this. Now, it's important as a Bible believer to consent to the wholesome words of the Lord Jesus Christ. I really do feel that today and age we live in is many pastors or many believers are mixed up, because I've noticed that many preachers put their own beliefs and they overlay it on the Bible rather than finding out what the Bible teaches. And when they do that, if you overlay your beliefs on top of the scriptures themselves, you'll end up walking in darkness rather than seeking deeper down to see what the Word of God teaches. Because here Jesus Christ in verse 15 said, "When he therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel," that's in verse 27, which we just read, "the prophet stand in the holy place." And he goes on, "Whoso readeth, let him understand." So Jesus Christ is our prophet, he's our priest, he's our king, and he is saying that the book of Daniel is a book of prophecies, and the prophecy or the dealing of the 70th week hasn't been completed yet, or hasn't been fulfilled, you could say. It's still an event that will take place, and that's what the Lord is mentioning here. And it didn't take place in Daniel 8, which I'll come to some other time, because we are going to go to Daniel 7 in a moment. But I want you to see what Jesus Christ says. And he says, "Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house." He's talking about this middle of this week. "Neither let him which is in the field return back to his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days." It's a particular time. "But pray that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day." Then verse 21, "For then," now here's the thing to remember what the Lord said, "shall be great tribulation." This is dealing with this 70th week. Daniel 9:27 calls it great tribulation. And he uses these words, and get this in your mind, "such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be." That's why he's talking of an event that's been nothing like it on this earth until this event happens, which is the Great Tribulation. Now, when Titus destroyed Jerusalem in 70 AD, it's nothing new under the sun, because you remember Nebuchadnezzar, he also besieged Jerusalem twice. The first time he took the vessels from the temple, and then he went down and destroyed the temple and so forth itself. So there's nothing new. Here I want you to understand that Jesus Christ makes it very clear that Daniel's 70th week is like nothing that's happened before. Just because you and I are now in a pandemic or something, by the way, that's not new, it's happened before. We are in the last year, last days, which are, we know are 2,000 years, and over this last period of 2,000 years, there's been nothing new, yet this time, there's nothing like it. So keep that in mind as we go through this lesson on Daniel. Of course, Daniel, Jesus Christ there is our priest, he's a prophet, he's a priest, and he's our king. Not only is he our king, he is the stone made without hands. He is of the Ancient of Days. So while we're there, come with me now to Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7, and we're going to read this part of Daniel. Now, Daniel chapter 7 comes after the end of Babylon, which was in Daniel 5, when Belshazzar saw the writing on the wall. And Daniel 6 deals with the Persian and Medes and the understanding of Daniel in the lion's den, which we will do lessons on here. But here I want to bring this up because we're dealing with our lessons on eschatology. And eschatology is the study of the latter days or things to come. Understand, when you study things to come, some of these things will be consideration, but on the other hand, there are things we can learn. So Daniel now is going to dream the same, is going to have a vision of that same dream that Nebuchadnezzar had. And in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and a vision of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. It's always a good thing to write down something if you have a vision or a thought from God. Don't forget it. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heavens strove upon the great sea. Obviously picturing the earth or the kingdoms of this earth. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse from another. So we have four beasts, they're different from one another. Now the beasts are the, which we're going to look at, is a term dealing with these kingdoms, which you'll look at as the image had Babylon as the gold and Persian and Medes as the silver, and the Alexander the Great was the brass, and then you had the legs of Rome, iron, and they're diverse. But here Daniel's vision gives us a characteristic of these kingdoms, and God calls them beasts. You remember Nebuchadnezzar found out that the God of heaven, where the Lord had taken him from the throne to where he was like a beast, like a man. The Antichrist is called a beast, he's a man. So here we have the first was like a lion and had eagle wings, as Babylon, and I beheld till the wings whereof were plucked, and it was lifted from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. Behold, another beast, a second like to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it between the teeth of it, and they said thus unto it, arise and devour much flesh. And after this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, and this would be Alexander the Great, this is Macedonia, which had upon the back of it four wings, and those four wings would have represented the four generals of Alexandria. Now, as I read this, I'm not doing a full history lesson, but I have some books that you could get from me if you wanted to learn more about the history of Babylon and the Persian and Medes and Macedonia here. But it's called a leopard, dealing with a characteristic of a leopard. And then finally in verse 7, which is a key verse, after this I saw in the night vision, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. Now this iron is dealing with Rome, and it devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Now, we know that Rome itself was in power, and it was an empire, and it was an empire of the world when Christ turned up and it was, let me just see if I can find you where the decree was made by Augustus. I think Augustus of Caesar was to decree that the world should be taxed. And that decree went for all the nations at that time. And of course, that decree went out. And of course, because of that, we had Jesus Christ not being born in Jerusalem, he was born in Bethlehem because of that decree. So here we have we have the fourth beast, Rome, and it's iron, and it can break the other three metals, the gold and the silver and the brass, and it shows its power, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it. It's interesting to note that Rome did not continue to have its power till much later AD, but it never says it ceased like the other kingdoms or beasts had. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Now, here is the 10 horns, are the 10 toes on that image. Now, the image, and it's good for you to go back to look at that image and notice the feet and the 10 toes, and these 10 toes are not the stone made without a hand doesn't take care of the image until we're dealing with the 10 toes. So the image is toppled when the feet and the toes are destroyed. That's the stone made without hands. But notice here that in Daniel 7 that we have the 10 toes, the 10 horns. Horns in your Bible are dealing with kings. And in verse 8, and I considered the horns. So Daniel is considering the horns. And behold, there came up among them another little horn. So as these 10 kings appear, so does another. It's called the little horn, a little king, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. So three of those kings have gone. And behold, in this horn were eyes like eyes of a man and a mouth speaking great things. So this horn is a man. He is the Antichrist, and the man of sin. He appears with these 10 kings to look at. And the Bible says, and I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit. So here Daniel sees the second advent. And he sees the second advent, the Ancient of Days, after the mention of these 10 kings. And I'll come to this in a moment. Whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool, and his throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set and the books were opened. So here we have in the book of Daniel is the second advent. Now, while you're there, just come with me to Revelation 13. Let me show you the fulfillment. Let me show you when these 10 kings do appear, and understand that the 10 kings are connected to Rome, and when they appear, the other little king comes up, little horn appears with them at that particular time. So Revelation 13:1, and which is the parallel passage here for Daniel chapter 7, and hopefully this will help you navigate through some of the scriptures yourself. So let me just have a little break here. Okay, John speaking now. John, the book of Revelation hadn't been written when Daniel had been written. When you understand Daniel sees peaks of prophecy, which I'll show you in a moment, he can see the second advent. He also can see the Messiah being cut off. He also could see a little prince coming in, but also he saw the 10 toes and what they represented in the vision, and they represented 10 kings, and one came up with them, a little horn, who we see as the man of sin, say, or the son of perdition, who spoke blasphemy, And then we have the Ancient of Days, which is the stone made without hands, which is the fifth kingdom. It's the end of what we call the time of the Gentiles. Jesus Christ mentioned the time of the Gentiles, and understand the time of the Gentiles began when Israel was taken into captivity, and the Lord being a prophet, and he did say in Luke 21, before I read Revelation 13, in Luke 21, verse 24, "And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nation," he's talking about the Jews, "and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled." That time will be fulfilled by the stone made without hands. But here in Revelation 13:1, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea," John speaking, "and saw a beast rise out of the sea." So here's the beast, "having seven heads and 10 horns. Upon his horns, 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard." Notice he's like a leopard. The characteristics of the kingdoms we just read in Daniel 7. "And his feet were as the feet of a bear, and of his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him," notice, "his power and his seat and great authority." And of course, we go on here dealing with these 10 kings appear. And we find out that these 10 kings received their power 1 hour with the beast. I'll just read you the 10 horns which thou sawest, the 10 kings. That's in Daniel 17:12, "which have received no kingdom as yet," but "receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These having one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast." So here we have a man who rises, speaking blasphemy, and he's a false Christ. He has a false kingdom, and that's dealing with these 10 kings, and these 10 kings, or this man, is connected with Rome, which we just read in Daniel chapter 7. Now, so when Daniel writes, he sees the vision shows him the characteristics of Babylon and so forth, which we just read. He considers the 10 horns, or the 10 kings, which are connected to the 10 toes, which are connected to Rome. Rome obviously being in power when Christ, the first advent. And he considers those horns, and the consideration is also that there's another one that rises up with them. It's interesting, he rises up, and this beast comes up over the sea, meaning that it's like the Roman Empire was an empire, and this will rise up over the sea, over the nations. And Daniel considers this, and he considers Daniel 7:7, that Rome is diverse from the others. Now the interesting thing is that with Daniel's prophecies, Daniel, when you study the book of Daniel, Daniel's prophecies of the second advent, which we see here, he sees what we call peaks of prophecy. In other words, this is what Daniel sees in the book of when the book of Daniel's written, and understand what he sees. He saw the second advent. He saw the time, you could say, you remember James and John, they were on the Mount Transfiguration. I'll read you this in Matthew chapter 17. Remember, Jesus Christ had taken the disciples and up, and they went on the Mount Transfiguration. They went up, and it's there that they saw the transfiguration of Christ, a picture of the second advent, Christ returning. Bible says, "And after 6 days Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. Behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah, as talking with him." You know, our God is not the God of the dead. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, is it good for us to be here? If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles. And why did he say that? Because the Feast of Tabernacles had all, for the Jew had always been dealing with their Messiah returning, the Lord coming back. And one for thee and one for Moses and Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. See, one thing with Daniel, he would have seen the second advent. He saw that. He would have seen what the disciples saw. One thing here that in Matthew 17, Jesus Christ didn't take back the kingdoms of this world from Satan. He didn't act, say, as the stone made without hands here. Instead, he came back down. He came back down from the mountain. The Bible says that. The Bible says in Luke chapter 9, and I'll just go to Luke chapter 9 for you to read you that when he came back down in Luke 9, and I hope this is in Luke 9, verse 51. I'll pick it up in verse 51 for you. That when Christ came back down, the Bible says, and it came to pass that when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. This is just after this transfiguration, and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven? In other words, Jesus Christ now is heading towards Jerusalem. He's heading towards a Roman court, amen. He's heading to the passage where Daniel sees the Messiah being cut off, but not for himself. See, obviously we understand that Rome is still in power, and we know that Daniel saw by the 70 weeks as well, or the 69th week, that Messiah was cut off. And then Daniel also saw the 70th week of 9:27, which we'll look at in a moment. He sees the 70th week. He sees the little prince come in. But come over with me to the book of Acts. Come over to the book of Acts chapter 7 with me. And this Acts 7 is pivotal for you understanding the Bible. If you're going to understand the Bible, and if you're going to understand things to come or latter days, you need to understand Acts chapter 7. Because now what we have is Messiah was cut off. We know that we know that Jesus Christ is risen again, obviously. The gospel has taken place. Acts 7, now is Jesus Christ has already ascended back to heaven again, which was Acts 1. And we had Philip, and now we have Stephen. We won't go fully into that. But just let me make something very clear that before John the Baptist was born, that his father had given the prophecy in Luke 1, verse 68 to 71. I'll read it for you. Blessed be the Lord of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up a horn of salvation. A horn is a king. Christ is their king. He's a horn of salvation for us. In the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which Daniel is one of them, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us. Understand that Rome hates the Jews, or the world hates Jews. Satan hates the Jew. But in Acts chapter 7, we have Stephen, who preaches to the Sanhedrin, and it would be good for you, if you're studying your Bible, that he gives a good outline of the Old Testament from Abraham, from Mesopotamia, how the land of the Chaldeans, and he goes right through the Old Testament in a way, and he's preaching to them And at the end of Acts chapter 7, what happens is that he gets to say, I'll pick it up, say where, and maybe verse 49, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. My house will he build, saith the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? Have not my hands made all these things? So Stephen finishes his sermon, preaching to them. They said his face shone like an angel. But then he says to them, to these Jews, he says he's stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart. And he, as he do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them, which showed before of the coming of the just one. Of course, Daniel saw the second advent. Of whom he have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the dispensation of angels and have not kept it. So Stephen is pretty blunt to their rejection. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. They gnashed on him with their teeth. A little bit like Rome, having teeth as iron. But ye, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God. This is what Daniel wrote about. And Jesus standing on the right hand of God. This is the Ancient of Days. He said, behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Here's the man. Here's the stone cut with hands. He's ready to return. He's ready to come back and revisit Israel and set up the kingdom and which will become as known as the end of the time of the Gentiles. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord, cast him out of the city and stoned him. And so their rejection of the preaching of the word of God is severe here. They stone Stephen. And Stephen, prophet, sees the Lord ready to return. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. Of course, Saul now is going to write, becomes Paul, who's now going to write and give us the mysteries that Daniel didn't see. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this asleep, you say, what were the mysteries that Daniel didn't see, the mysteries that now, because Israel had rejected their Messiah. Daniel didn't see Israel rejecting him. Daniel perceives that they would have received the Lord as their Messiah. He would have seen that the second advent would have taken place right here, just after Acts 7. Well, he would have seen it because, see, Rome's still in power. It's very possible that Rome's in power and that this man of sin, the little horn, could rise with 10 other kings, a false Christ with a kingdom. And, of course, but Daniel didn't perceive that, doesn't see that the rejection. And, of course, this is a mystery because then Paul comes along and he gives us the seven mysteries. If you want to read the seven mysteries, they're on our study page on our website. But let me just read a couple of the mysteries that Daniel didn't see. It's a valley, it's a peak. He didn't see where in Romans 11:25 he said, for I would not, brethren, that he should be ignorant of this mystery, lest he should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. They're the natural branch that cut off. You and I have been grafted in. That's what Romans 11 talks about. They don't see the body of Christ. Ephesians 5:32, Paul wrote, this is a great mystery. I speak concerning Christ and the church, the body of Christ. Doesn't see the Jew and Gentile being baptized by one spirit into an unseen body. This unseen body is the body of Jesus Christ, amen? And he doesn't see that. It's a valley. He doesn't see the mystery that also that Paul wrote about us, the twinkling, the time that we'll meet him in the air before the actual advent of the Lord returning, which I'll read in a moment. He doesn't see the fact that he doesn't see the mystery. He doesn't understand maybe the mystery of iniquity. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. This is important to understand this mystery. It's called the mystery of iniquity. The mystery of iniquity is in hand with it's in hand, excuse me, with the little horn. This man that appears with the other ten, which is connected to Rome. So this is what this is, a mystery. Now, mystery in the Bible is, we know what it is, but we can't explain exactly how it works. But let me read you 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Obviously, there's always a debate on 2 Thessalonians 2. People try to understand it. You can understand it in this context when you realize it's a mystery. What's the mystery? Well, one of the mysteries is this, and I want to, before I read you the 2 Thessalonians, I do want to make this one point very clear to us as we read this, that the let me just find the verse for you, that the it wasn't a decree sent by God that Israel would reject the Lord Jesus Christ for them to get ready for the second coming. It wasn't a decree. A decree is when God decrees it, there shall be a son born, or like in Daniel, when you read about Nebuchadnezzar, about how he made the law a decree and it was executed. It had to be executed. In Daniel 4:24, I want you to when we looked at Daniel 4, excuse me, we looked at the watchers, the Holy One, a decree. Listen to this verse. This is the interpretation, O King, and this is a decree of the Most High. This is where we read that the heavens do rule in Daniel 4, which we did the message on Sunday about things don't last. Notice it's a decree of the Most High which has come upon my Lord the King. In other words, this is a decree from heaven that this thing that was going to happen to Nebuchadnezzar was going to happen, where he was then, as we saw, dethroned and became like a beast. Understand that Israel, this was not a decree by God for Israel to reject the second advent in a way. This was their heart. This was them rejecting their Messiah, amen? So this wasn't in that sense. So therefore, because the Bible is left the way it is, because in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, Daniel sees, after the Messiah being cut off, he sees the 70th week, which we'll read of a moment. He sees that. Let me just read that before I read 2 Thessalonians. It might help. Might help if I read that first, let me just read this to you to understand what Daniel saw. In verse 26, he sees Messiah being cut off. That's Daniel 9, verse 26. He sees Messiah being cut off, not for himself, and the people of the prince, small p, that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Verse 27, this is what Christ was talking about in Matthew 24, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. So we saw that the little horn comes up with the other ten kings. He subdues three of them, leaving seven. He becoming the eighth as well, and he is a false Christ who has a false kingdom, and he makes a covenant here with Israel. And so the Bible says, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. So he comes in, he makes this covenant of peace. He's a false Christ. And the Bible says, Jesus said, there are many false Christs have gone out into the world. Understand, a false Christ is somebody who has the spirit of Antichrist. The spirit of Antichrist of 1 John is a spirit that opposes Christ. He opposes the deity of Jesus Christ. He opposes the mystery of godliness, that God was manifest in the flesh, amen. But so here this little king makes this, who comes up with the other ten, makes a covenant for 1 week, which is the 7 years, and in the midst of the week, this is what Christ talks about, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. It's a wrong offering. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate until the consummation and the determination be poured the desolate. Excuse me. So in other words, this prophecy here is that Daniel sees this little prince come in and understand that this could have happened after Acts 7, because the Messiah has already been cut off. Rome's still in power. Jesus Christ was overthrown by Rome, and we know that he was in heaven. Stephen sees him ready to come back, and now we're talking of this man of sin. Now let me just put here, when we come to 2 Thessalonians, Paul is writing to this church. It had been a letter, had been going around saying that this time had already taken place. And he says in verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that they shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, we know that Judas Iscariot, Jesus called him twice, or that he was the, he called him the son of perdition. Remember that Judas was a disciple that even the disciples didn't know who Judas Iscariot was. And Judas Iscariot was a man also that Satan entered into, which I'll look at in a moment. But notice here, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God. Now we know that when we read in Daniel chapter 7, that it's the same man who speaks, or the same spirit that speaks and opposes God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So, Paul is teaching this church here, or referring back to the fact that he had obviously taught them the book of Daniel. And he says, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. So he's not telling the church some new things. He's telling them the things that have already been written, which was the book of Daniel. Remember, he's not telling them the book of Revelation, because Revelation is written by John. And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. And for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. What do you mean, Brother Simon? Well, here's the point. He's dealing here with this son of perdition, this man, and it will be with. And he says, and now he knoweth what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. Now, God's holding back this unclean spirit. He's holding back Satan, which I'll show you in a moment. What do you mean? If Israel had received Christ, as Dr. Rockman pointed out, then the principalities and powers and the nations around would have turned against Israel for receiving their Messiah and getting ready for his return. This would have brought the fact that Rome's in power. This would have also brought up the ten kings, and with them the little horn, this man of sin. And right there and then, and after Acts 7, God could have revealed the Antichrist and the 70th week that Daniel talks about, and 9 could have been fulfilled, amen. And it could have been that way, and there's no reason why it couldn't have been that way, and so therefore this man was revealed. Now, here's the key to understand something here about this man of sin, the Antichrist. So he could have been revealed then. Now, obviously, some people say that Jesus Christ referred to Judas Iscariot as the son of perdition, which he was, and if it's the same man that who is the Antichrist, that could have, say, been resurrected again. Let's just come over to John with me. Come over to John chapter 13 for a moment. John chapter 13, and then I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 12. And this is a mystery, and we're dealing with, say, Judas Iscariot for a moment. Sometimes a reference to him is called the son of perdition in John 17 by the Lord. And then we find in John chapter 13, when Jesus, in the upper room, when he takes off his gown and he washes the disciples' feet. Notice in John 13, in verse 2, the Bible says, John 13, verse 2, the Bible says, "And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him." Notice it's Satan who puts into Judas Iscariot, into his heart, to betray Christ. And we go on then, come over then to verse 27. And if you want to read this, keep it in context. "And after the sop," or the soap, after Jesus had dipped, "Satan entered into him, and then said Jesus unto him, Thou doest thou quickly." So notice Satan entered into this man. And so now we have an antichrist. We know that he went to his own place. Whether he's resurrected or not, I don't know for sure. But there's one thing about that: this little horn is a man, and he's a beast, and he has a false kingdom, which is dealing with the ten kings in Rome. But come over with me to Matthew chapter 12 with me, and I want to show you what Jesus said about this man and this unclean spirit. Notice Satan enters into Judas Iscariot. By the way, who is God's enemy? Satan is. Who opposes Jesus Christ? Satan does. Who wants to sit on the throne of David? Satan does. Who wants to overthrow the throne in heaven? Satan does. He's the cherub, the anointed cherub, created. He's fallen seven times. Who is allowed to come down in Revelation chapter 12, verse 12, is Satan. He is the one who persecutes the woman, Israel, who brought forth the man-child. He's the one who chases them out into the wilderness and causes a flood, and yet the earth helps them. But in Matthew chapter 12, and I want to show you what Jesus Christ said, because you have to consider the wholesome words of the Lord. Now, there's an interesting way that the Bible puts it for us that can connect to understand that this man, and it could have been a man, could have been any man really, could have been a man in Acts, after Acts 7, doesn't have to necessarily be Judas Iscariot, because Satan could enter this unclean vessel or this man. And also in, let's have a look and come down to me to verse 43. Let me read you this, verse 43. Now this will give you some food for thought. Hopefully these lessons are just giving you some understanding that what could have taken place with Rome being in power and the first advent, and then the second advent didn't happen. And we have the mysteries that Paul wrote about the body of Christ. And we know that this little horn is a man. He speaks blasphemy. He has an unclean spirit. We know it's like Satan entering into Judas. Judas Christ is called the man, the son of perdition. Revelation talks more about that, that sort of a satanic trinity, which we won't deal with in this lesson. But in verse 43, notice the Lord says, after talking about the Queen of Sheba coming up for the wisdom from Solomon, he says, "And when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none." So notice this unclean spirit goes out of a man. Here notice that in verse 44, "Then he saith, I will return unto my house." Now the house could be Israel, but I think in context it's a man. So he says, "I'm going to go back to this man. I'm going to go back to this house from whence I came out." So sometimes sometimes you could say, where does this unclean spirit come from? But he went, and when he has come, he findeth it empty, swept and garnished. So notice what he does. Then he goeth and taketh himself seven other spirits. Now, by the way, remember that the little horn came up with the 10 kings. He subdued 10 of them. Remember that? He subdued 3 of them, which would have left 7, him being the 8th. Notice what Jesus says. He goeth and taketh with himself 7 other spirits. These 10 kings that are connected to Rome are also unclean spirits and more wicked than himself. And then they entered in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. You realize that these 10 kings or these 10 spirits is a man. And this man can be revealed in his time. And what withholdeth this from happening? Well, God does. Now, God withheld it. He withheld Daniel's 70th week of being completed in after Acts 7. What do you mean, Brother Simon? Well, he withheld it because for this reason the Jews had rejected him. So therefore, you could almost say God has another plan without changing the will of man, and the door now is open to the Jew and the Gentile getting into what's called the body of Christ. Daniel didn't see that. Paul writes it as a mystery, and we don't find really now the 70th week or the time of this man of sin appearing till Revelation chapter 6. Understand that Revelation chapter 6 is where you see the moon and the sun turned into sackcloth. We understand then that obviously Acts chapter 2 is partial prophecy, because that prophecy is fulfilled before the great day of the Lord in Revelation 6. This is also dealing with the appearance of this man coming on a white horse. He's a false Christ with a false kingdom. And like Jesus Christ, he is the perfect counterfeit. And Israel are deceived by this man. And if you remember, when you read 2 Thessalonians, and let me read you 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 again, this might help in context to understand what's going on here, is that, let's have a look in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and understand as you and I as a believer, you have Christ in you, you and I are sealed unto the day of redemption, we do not have the spirit of Antichrist, we believe that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, amen, that he was God. We believe the mystery of godliness, that God manifests in the flesh. Let me have a look. Let me read you 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 again for a moment and understand this. Notice, let me read this in verse 4, talking about this man who opposed and exalted himself above all that is called God. So he is a false Christ with a false kingdom, all that worship, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Of course, what are they wanting Jesus Christ to do? Set up the kingdom. That's what the disciples asked Jesus in Acts 1. So the counterfeit's going to do exactly the same thing. And remembering not that I told you these things, that's what Paul said. Verse 6, and now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. Here's the point. God will reveal this man in his time. And that time is connected also to Rome. And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. Verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. When did Paul write that? 2,000 years ago. That mystery was at work in Acts 7. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then, of course, this can be clearly seen more in Revelation of the wicked one being revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Second advent. See, Daniel understood the second advent. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and wonders, and with all deceivableness, of unrighteousness in them that perish. Notice, why do they perish? Because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, and they shall believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. And you say, what do you mean, believe the lie? Well, the lie is this, quite simply, that the Antichrist, this man of sin, is a counterfeit. And the counterfeit has a spirit that opposes Jesus Christ and offers a kingdom, or offers peace to the nation Israel, say. Well, what do you mean, Brother Simon? Well, anyone who wants to believe a spirit that opposes Jesus Christ is delusional. Amen? Because you say, why are they delusional, Brother Simon? Well, because if you want to believe Satan and believe his lies, you'll believe that he will conquer Jesus Christ. But do you know what the book of Daniel shows us? The book of Daniel clearly shows that Jesus Christ will conquer Satan. Amen? He will conquer the kingdoms of this world. He is the stone made without hands. Praise the Lord for that. He is your king, he's your priest, and he's your prophet. Isn't it a great thing to know that the Lord is our rock, the rock of our salvation? And I really encourage you as you listen to this, it's only the heart of man that rejects Christ, not a system. It's our heart. And the real fact of the matter was is that Acts chapter 7 is pivotal to the fact that Daniel's 70th week could have been completed there. But now we have the mysteries of the time and age we live in. And of course, the great news is that this, and the great thing about the book of Daniel, church is never mentioned, because Daniel's not dealing with the church, it's dealing with the Jews, and he's dealing with Daniel's 70th week. Because we're not mentioned and we're also taken out of here, the great thing about it is the great tribulation, as the Lord spoke about. You realize that you and I won't go through that. Don't fall into the trap just because we have things happening now that somehow this is connected to the great tribulation. It isn't. And be careful of those that always use the verse out of Chronicles where it says, and my people who are called by my name, if they shall humble themselves. That verse is a promise to Israel for them back there. You and I do not need to, because something bad's happening, humble ourselves. All we need to do is just trust our rock, trust our salvation, trust the fact that Jesus Christ will come back shortly. He will take us out of here, amen? And when he does that, Daniel's 70th week will kick in. Hopefully this lesson will be somewhat of a blessing to you. If you have any questions, please don't be scared or worried. Please contact me. I know I can probably make some things a little bit more clearer than I can do in an hour of teaching and preaching, but I do thank you for your time and your faithfulness to follow me as we're studying these lessons on eschatology and the true and living God. So let me just pray. Thank you, Lord, for this time. We ask you bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.